Just a couple of quick arrows from the end of the Mishnah Ches. Sif Nun, take a look quickly. Torah Mada Sif. Haraj b'matir l'talta l'asa itzdar lob. B'shabbos, v'chein sifir ha-chachmas l'odas ha-ramba mishu s'tav l'udavar. So, what's going on over here? Take a look at the Gain.
Oh.
So first you have to look back at Semen Shin Zion Sif Yud Zion. We had a machlokas. The Rambam said, just like Ashtar Yadiotos are Aser, so too Shar Chachmos. So you can't read science books or the like, even if reading science books is a valuable thing for the Rambam. That's not to be done on Shabbos. And the Rosh book extends that to this Itzter Lob. Safilo Ksuvim Aser. The Rashba Shita makes more sense. So then, what's the further suffix over here? Dilma dami l'sifra dagada took moshkas perakanizakin. Aval nirali delo dami. And again, first of all, the Goyim thinks that the Rashba's view against the Rambam's view makes more sense. And then he's saying, even if you hold like the Rambam, it shouldn't be comparable. The Shama feel the chol
aser.
Yeah, you might not have it.
Where is it?
It's
only
in
the
Friedman.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Is it on the Bar Ilan?
So it, in the regular ones, it's in the end. You saw the Mishnah Berurah quoted this.
Yeah, and then I looked back and couldn't find it.
That's why. Yeah, so if you have a Friedman version, then you're lucky. So if you don't have a Friedman version, you have to look at the Hashmatos Besov Bir Hagrad Fus Shkolov.
Controversial,
huh? Yeah, sure. So anyway, so that's why I'm reading it, in case you didn't have it. Mash ein kein. So what's saying? Aval ner delo dami, tesham afilu b'chol aser, meaning to say, if it's aser b'chol, so then it's batal taras kli. But if it's aser just on Shabbos, so then it's going to be kli shbatal liyaser. Mash ein kein kan, velo gar mekamei ashein umolcha v'shtar yadiotos. So what's going on over here? So again, we have the general machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba by Sifrei Chachma on Shabbos, the Rashba's Mekel. So obviously then over here, there's nothing to talk about here. Science book on Shabbos will not be muksa. The question is, if you hold like the Rambam, so then we could be mistopic. Is it muksa mamish or is it klish machtel yeser? And the Gra is saying, you know, it makes more sense to say it's a klish machtel yeser because since it's motor b'chol, so the only reason why it can't be moved on Shabbos, the only reason, using this book in the normal way is an Isser. So it should be like any other Klish Melachtel Yisser. Now, that's such a good point. So what's the tzad to be Machmir? Right? So maybe it's Kol Melachtel Yisser. But if you're Mako on that Shaila, what's going on?
Who says that the Mechaber was entertaining its son that it's entirely?
What's the Yesh L'Stapik B'davar? Either it's a Klish Machtel Yisser or it's Muksa Mamish. That's the Safik. Certainly, right? There's no Tzad that it's better than that. That's certainly the way the Gra's reading it. But I think that's the Pashtos. So the question is, what's the Tzad to be Machmer? What's the Safik? Right. We understand very well the tzad to be mekel, so what's the tzad to be machmir? So, not clear. Maybe it's because a book, be'etzem, isn't a kli. So, once you can't read the book, then you can't say, oh, it's still going to be Matot Tzach Gufo. It's a good question, because this gets to our question. How do you find, what do you use a book for? You read it. Is that a Shtam Shuspadavan? I don't know. It's like that's a question. If you're going to take the approach that we considered yesterday, that all sorts of things are not Kalim, because, like, the balls,
I use
and
it as
toys,
a booster for my chair.
So yeah, Nachanami. In other words, they weren't talking about such a book, first of all. In other words, you have to remember what a book was it's a scroll. So again, if you hold, if you're machmir for kol malach tov yisur, then I certainly understand. The question is, but I don't know, that's pretty docha. You're right. Yeah. Right, that's not a yishtamshus. Someone made it. It's not a kli. That's my point. That's what I'm saying. That's what they wanted to sit on their kli. So that's what I said. If you think that, that's certainly one way to understand it. The question is, if you want to say no, it was pashut that kol malach tov yisur is aser, is mutter, is there a way to understand that tzad lahachmir over here differently? That's exactly what I'm asking. If you want to say that, it's fine. The question is that it's just a piece of paper, a book, it's a scroll, whatever it is. And again, if you were to use Caleb, like you said, like a booster chair, the way, you know, then I understand, but that's not the way they saw a book. A book is something that you look at. So maybe something you look at is my plate. But that's not Pasha. Yeah.
Maybe originally Svarim were Mutter, and then the Svarim and Mutter were specific Kadash. Then there were Isa anything. There were Matter things. There weren't Matter Svarim because Svarim were Mutter. So Svarim were never part of the Heter of the Shmach Kadash. It's a big stretch because why wouldn't they be that fixed in the Svarim? But you'd say it kind of falls with
that's good.
It's not different Kadash, but it's not. It wasn't in the Heter for either because it's a safer.
I don't understand.
The originally when they made the Gzeira by the Chemia, they weren't Gazar on food and Kalim. They were already Muslim, right? But the way you make all Sifri Kodesh. They made everything else Asr. They made everything besides Sifri Kodesh and food Asr.
Everything besides Sifri Kodesh and food Asr. So what is the halacha by these things?
So at that stage, they were Asr. Then when they were Makel, they were only Makel by things which are not Svarim and food.
No, but Svarim.
But there was again, originally, Sifri Kodesh, the Echol Mutter, everything was Asr. Then, they were Mekel by Kalim.
But why were they, when they were Mekel,
when
they were Matir, every other Klish Matal Yisr, which are Kufa, why did this come along? Why?
Because Svarim were already Mutter, Sifri Kodesh.
But this is a Klish Matal Yisr. Why should we differ in the hammer? Why they keep, they're Matir hammer and not this?
So,
oh, that's what I was
doing. That's true. You only went far of this.
Shwiti feeds are like, particularly either Kiyom and Chalice, that's in the Persian Mishnah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
by the Masa Masakas is Yisim.
Yeah, but that's because that's a Kiyomite.
Okay.
Okay. Sarach, Ian, something to think about. Anyway, so let's say you were Machmir on this Shaila. Generally speaking, in terms of the general Shaila about the secular books, so the Mechaber is Machmir. The Ramah writes, or the Mishnah Berurah writes, that the Minhag is to be Mekel, but Yerushalayim should be Machmir. So I'll tell you Machmir on this. So what would the halacha be by a telescope? So, Chora. Now it's for the Rambam. Al Hatzad. And the truth is, well, either on the side of the Chumrah over here, or forget that. Could you use the telescope on Shabbos? Right? So maybe you'd think that this is the same thing as the Itzter lobe. So the Chazanish says, no, this is Mutter.
Oh, so what? Sorry,
no, it's a thing that's used to make calculations. It has like maps to chart out the stars. You it's much more complicated than a telescope.
That's a picture.
It has glass pieces?
Do you think it has? I don't know, glass. It has tablets in it. With the star, yeah, the star shapes. Oh, no, look it up. I once looked up what it was. I forgot. Anyway, so the pshat is that this is a telescope. That's just binoculars. That's just magnification. That's, you want to look at the stars, right? So a telescope just makes them a little bigger, a little more visible, a little more discernible. But, so you can't, how could you usher it, right? Even if you're not allowed to study science on Shabbos, you're allowed to look at a tree. You're allowed to look at an animal. You could say, wow, look at that bird fly, right? So tell, you know, looking in the binoculars, that should be okay. Now, the truth is that the whole Chiddush of the Rashba, Bidas HaRambam, is a Chiddush. In other words, the Rambam doesn't talk about this Isterlob. The Rambam talks about reading Gesaid's book. And the Rashba says, well, Mali Kriya, Mali Lehavin, you know. So that itself, the Rashba's expansion of the Rambam is already a Chiddush. And then to expand from the Itzter lobe to the telescope is another Chiddush. That's what the Mishnah is saying. No, that's taking it too far. Because, again, if you're to go that way, aim with other self. Okay. Sifnun Aleph. Masha Moira Hashos. Oh. So here we have the very interesting idea of time pieces of various sorts. So you have the kind that is a sand timer, and then we have the question of the sundial, and then we have to talk about our watches. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about that. Shulchan Aruch just says, Mashemana Shaos Shekor Nulog Bein Shehu Shachol Bein Shehu Shal Min Acher. Useless topic. Immortal, Talta Law, Govic, Fire, and Pasha, Hamina, Glassor. So, the Chassam Sofer says, Pasha, Hamina, Glahatir. So, it might be talking about different types of watches. But watches, as the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Achrayim, are mutter. And the question now is why? So, there are a lot of different chilukim that we could say between the watches that are aser and our timepieces. And they actually make a big difference. If we had time, we could talk more about it. But, you know, one way to understand the chiluk is that it's only usher if you measure something. Time is not a thing. It's not a physical entity. It's a construct. But it's not physical. So when you're measuring something physical, whether it's the sand or even the shade, in other words, in a sundial, you're measuring something physical. How much shade? Whereas when you're just measuring time, so that is not, that cannot be bechlal the Isser Medida. That's one svara. Another svara is what?
Shade is something physical?
Sure. Yeah. I see the shade and I want to look how big it is. Just like if I go ahead and I see this computer and I want to say, how big is this? And I take out a measuring tape and it says, oh, it's 18 inches. So that's Isser. So here I have shade. And I want to see how much is the shade. Oh, I look from here to here, 6 inches. 6 inches of shade means it's 212. Good. So my shnah. But measuring time, right? So what am I measuring? Even if you're going to say 240 means I'm measuring 2 hours and 40 minutes from chatzos, gewaldig. But what if I measured? There's nothing tangible, nothing physical. So maybe the only iser of medida is measuring something physical.
But the watch is physical.
You're not measuring anything physical.
Imagine
the watch, so you're right. So if you looked at, so that's an interesting question. The answer is no. That's not how anyone looks at their watch.
the same with the sundial. That's
no. So
no.
The way the sundial, so maybe, yeah, so there are other sources, and I'm, you're saying, let's put it a little differently, Avada digital watch is mutter, but a non-digital watch is aser, right? Because a non-digital watch, I know what time it is. So, an analog, thank you. So, you know, everybody, when they talk to you about nowadays, as my watch muksa, you know, it's because they have these fancy schmancy watches. Like, of course, the old-fashioned watches are muksa. You're saying, no, the old-fashioned watches are muksa. The fancy schmancy, those are mutter. So, anyway, so I think the way I look at a watch is it's not measuring it at all. Meaning to say the hour hand points to the 2, so it's 2. And the minute hand points to the 6, which means it's 35. So I know it's 2:35. I have not to measure anything. I'm not measuring, when I see the hour, minute hand pointing at the 6, what have I measured? I say, that's saying 35. No, so
it's the same thing, it's where it's pointing to. Whether.
The tzad to be machmir for the sundial, the phrase is that you're being modeed the tzel.
You're not. It's where the shot is pointing to on the dial.
No. So that's not what they're talking about.
They're not talking about that.
So that's one pshat.
Different kind of sundial.
They're talking about when you're modeh the tzel, that there's a certain amount of tzel, and when the tzel is 6 inches, you know it's 2 o'clock, and when the tzel is 7 inches, you know it's 3 o'clock. Fine. This is not pashat, and I agree. So there are other svaros. Another svara is that. Well, anyway, I want to really focus on Shin Test today. So, to take a look. No, it's a very interesting topic. There's more pshatim in the deer shoe from other achronim and the like. Ein Shem. Good. Turning to Shin Test, Sif Aleph. Note Adam Benai. Sha'evin Biyadai. The Lo Chashiv Metaltel. Ooh, sheesh lo gaguin. I love. Sheim lo yitlanu yachla. Oh, ain't lo gaguin, I love. Lo. So, the obvious question here is, what happened to Tiltal minatzad lo tzachtar v'mutter? Meaning, say, I would have said that, look, you're carrying your kid. And that's mutter. So, why am I carrying my kid? Because he's sad. I want to bring him home, whatever the reason is. I'm carrying my kid, and it happens to be that Agav, the kid's carrying the stone, so Agav, I'm carrying the stone. But I'm not carrying the stone, I'm carrying the kid. Why are you carrying the stone? So it should be Tiltal Menatzad. Now, we know that when it comes to Tiltal Menatzad, so if I could do near, I should do near. But I can't do near. Why? Because the kid's going to cry. So I can't do near. Tiltal Menatzad, we'll talk to our mother. I want the kid inside. Why should this be usher? And yet, clearly it's usher. Now, the only reason why it's usher is a special dispensation because of Gaguin. He's going to get sick.
I don't understand. Isn't that goofing the point?
Oh, so that's a very fancy answer. So, we'll get there in 1 second. So, no. You might be right. That's one way to learn the sugya. We'll get there. Let's start with the Eichel Avram. So he answers, Yesh Lomar, Sifkat Nalef, Tiltal Menatzad, Yesh Lomar, Bigimara mashmak shenose tinok have kimitaltel ha'av ha'evan. She doesn't give you an answer. He says that you're carrying the stone. You're carrying the kid who's carrying the stone. This isn't like the kid is in a basket. Unless your kid's a basket. You're carrying the stone. So, what's the pshat? What's the pshat? Why is it different than a basket? I suppose the answer is because the kid is intentionally holding the stone. So held it in somebody that's intentionally holding the stone is very different than carrying a basket that happens to have a stone in it. Now, that is one answer. And that's a big chiddush. That's a big chiddush. Another answer, yeah? So what does Tosa say?
Reading Rashi. I mean, Tosa says that as a kash.
The toast on the top of
okay.
The top of
the rala. Then is dinner, then time marsh and you shall not you know you're talking about that. Then time marsh and I mean Tato Tino I just ruined about Evan. Oh, so I think he's learning well right. She betay log of Kalkaram the life Yeshlomar Deno Tsarech Kolkach Tiltal Hatino. So the answer is if you need it. Right. So the first answer Tosis is saying what? First answer saying that when you need the tinok a lot, so then this would be mutter. Yeah, you don't really need the tinok inside. So this answer is a very interesting idea. It's saying, and we're going to see other manifestations of this idea, which is that tiltal menatzad we're matir when there's like a real need, and not such a real need. It's the duchuya type approach. No,
that's fine. I know. I only different
thing. How do you leave the toast?
That was the question of whether the Evan can be bottled to the way toast is whether the Evan is bottled to the kid or the Evan is bottled. So the Evan is not bottled to the kid because if I don't really need the kid, so the kid isn't a chashav enough thing to.
But I don't need the Evan even less.
No, but
I'll. But anyway, he doesn't have to be Yeshlom to Enu Tsar Kolkach Tiltal Latino.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what. So we'll get to that possibility. Shlomo Zalman Arbach quoted in the Deer Shoe, note 3, gives a different answer. He says, very interesting idea, it's also in Shulchan Shlomo and Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, that since this is a normal way to move the stone, it's not a shinui. Also, Nisan Kralt says this. And therefore, it's not Teltom in Hatzad. Teltom in Hatzad. Wow. Now that's a tremendous Chiddush, right? I don't understand. What about all the Rishonim that say that pockets are Teltom in Hatzad? Isn't that the normal way to carry your wallet? Or sweeping? It's the normal way to carry dirt? Now, the simplest answer, and this is, I thought, this is what actually I thought when I read the Gemara, the Chazon Ish says it, and Shulchan Aruch says it, is that we're talking about a case where you want the stone. In other words, if you want the kid inside, great. Why? It's bedtime. It's supper time. You're just bored of playing in the park, and you've had enough. So, it doesn't quite matter why, but since my kid wants the stone, and if he leaves the stone here, he's going to have a temper tantrum. So I want to basically carry two things inside. I want to carry my kid, and I want to carry the stone. And therefore, it's not going to be Teltom in Hatzad. Now, the Ritva says like this. Very fascinating answer to this question. Hasam l'tzarch oichal nefesh v'tzarch tzarchei Shabbos. The answer is, aval shalal l'tzayrech aser u'misham hachi it's derech l'tayma d'ben sheyesh lo gaguin. Cain's and the rid. And this is the way you are reading Tosfos also.
No.
Oh, this isn't the way you read
it. I think I will.
But anyway, the way the Ritva says it explicitly, since he says it explicitly, is that Teltom in Hatzad is Tzarech Davar Mutter, which is what? What's Tzarech Davar Mutter? Tzarech Shabbos. Einik Shabbos. And like we said before in the Ritva, Teltom in Hatzad is really Aser. It should be. It's Teltom Miksa. It's not Loshmei Teltom like the Chazon Ish said it. No, it really is Teltom Miksa. They're not dear Litzarch Einik Shabbos. This is an Onik Shabbos, and therefore it would be Aser. What? Yeah, Nachanami. If it was Tzarech Eichel Nefesh Bishar Tzarech Shabbos, then it would be Mutter. And this is not Tzarech Eichel Nefesh Bishar Tzarech Shabbos. The Heter told us that's only said Tzarech Eichel Tzarech Shabbos. That's for sure. It's Tzarech. I mean, first of all, we don't know if sweeping is Teltom in Hatzad, but that was only one answer in Ramban. But if you are going to say that's for sure Tzarech Shabbos, why am I sweeping in Shabbos to have Einik Shabbos, to have a clean house to enjoy?
I don't understand why if your kid stops screaming, then that's like sweeping your floor.
So that's a very interesting question. You know, what is the mitzias that the Ritva is assuming? I'm imagining that the pshat is like this. I have no need for the stone inside whatsoever. And maybe he's learning, I don't know, you think maybe he's learning that the kid also doesn't have any need for the stone inside? That's why I'm not allowed to take it in? He just doesn't want to let go, but he doesn't need it inside. So therefore it's not really Tzarech Shabbos.
Or you don't need to pick up the child at Tzarech Shabbos.
Well, Gaguin. So you're saying it's like a very formal thing. Tzarech Shabbos.
Mitzvasayom.
Yeah, so
it's. Kibbutz Rabbis is Mitzvasayom.
It's such a Chiddush, though, because.
It limits the Heter a lot.
It very much limits the Heter.
Yeah, but I mean, if you only find in there a Tzva like that, then.
You know, the Raya, like you're saying, he says, Ochal Nefesh, Tzarech Shabbos. So Tzarech Shabbos in a very formalistic way. And it's just. Avon Shalom.
I think it's in the first. He says he's
Litzorech Aser.
My kid is crying. He's going to get sick. And that's not Tzarech Shabbos.
No, who says that?
They're saying
this or the whole. Ritva is saying that
he's crying miserably. And that's not considered Tzarech Shabbos.
Well,
that's not Mutter.
No. Just to be a little fair. It's not that the question that he's asking, the kid is going to cry if I don't pick him up. But maybe saying, no, maybe not, I don't know, maybe saying, no, you don't need the stone. So moving the stone is considered shelo tzorach, because I don't need the stone. The kid doesn't need the stone. So really you shouldn't be able to carry the kid who's carrying the stone, because there's no need to carry the stone. There's no tzorach Shabbos.
And also, meaning,
but in Ochanami, if the kid was going to, according to the Ritva, and I'm not sure about this, I'm not sure how to read the Ritva. According to the Ritva, if the kid wants to play with the stone inside, and so you're carrying the kid inside, because you want to carry the kid inside, and then the kid's carrying the stone inside, so you could play that. So you want the stone inside, so the kid could play with it. So maybe the pshat is, I don't know. This is like, you could say it against the Magen Avraham. In other words, that's tiltel menatzat l'tzavtavar aser, because the stone is muksa. So yetzah, you want the stone inside. And even so, the kid could play with the stone inside. But that's a shtam shes b'muksa.
Why is the dustpan okay? You don't want the dust. No, it has to be clean, right? You put the dustpan and the dust on it, it's like the stone.
The kasha gavi mita.
Yeah.
Well, both of those, first of all, are not clearly tiltel menatzat anyway.
No, but that's the ritva's... The ritva, you don't need the rush. That's
the ritva says over there what? The kasha alamita is... He doesn't learn like the rush.
Right, because sleeping is for onik shabbos.
So I need to get rid of the kash.
That's onik shabbos. I'm not the kash, but that's the tzorach of the kash.
No, that's...
It's the tzorach of the kash so I can sleep on it. That's why the rush wasn't happy with it.
That is, the ritva is saying you're using the kash and here in a mutter way. And here,
with the food in the kaka, you're using the food for
that to work. That goes back to the toy shiloh from yesterday. You're using the muksa in an isser way. Just the kid might be allowed to.
You need to sleep on the bed when you walk something. Not just the way the rush, but the run.
Flatten the kash.
No, you need to move it off so I can have.
That's for sure okay.
That's
a certain. But I mean, this is a bigger Kiddush, that you're doing it for the chefza of the kash.
Right. And I will still be in the sermon.
And still, that's considered.
Right. So you're saying that's like the Magen Avraham. So I can't explain this ritual against
Magen Avraham. I thought that's the Chazon Ish
is like that. The ritual is just saying at the end, Gagoin is Sofer Shabbos.
What?
That's exactly what he's saying.
No, Gagoin is not.
The Sofer Shabbos.
No.
You would have thought there was no.
This is a special rabbinic answer.
It's not special. That's a rush.
No. That's I think the Kamaskana, the ritual is the answer that Yoni read it. This is Tzorach Shabbos, because he's got Gaguin isn't a dispensation. Gaguin is the Tzorach Shabbos. But if he wouldn't care.
It depends how you read it. I think you can read it.
Okay, it's fine. It's good.
Okay, so we have a number of fascinating answers to this question. Let's turn to the place. No, I agree. It's not so clear how to read it. But you could, if we're looking for a Rishon to say Yoni's Pshat, well, we could read the Ritva that way, perhaps.
Tosfos.
No. That's what Tosfos means.
Why does he have a kasha unless you say it like that?
Something outside.
Why does the child need the oven? Even if it's still something outside, you still have to do Nir. Why is Tosfos asking a kasha unless...
He
says you can't do neither.
Because the kid will be miserable.
Okay, so but without that.
So good. So now why is it mutter? But is it still be mutter, even without Gagul?
Because whenever you have tiltum etzah, you always have to do neither. Even if it's a tzorach of the ramot, you have to do neither.
Right, but that wouldn't have been mutter the tiltum of the Evan. Otherwise, you have to be minar the Evan. You can't carry the child up in the other unless you're making a pinta.
That's right, I understand that. I'm not sure I get where you're going
there. So then why isn't. So isn't Tosfos saying exactly the same thing as the Ritva?
The Tosfos says if it's lo tzarech kol kach tiltel hatinok, then it would be aser. And if it's, and that's why you need gaguin. And if tzarech tiltel hatinok, then it's mutter, right? Because you don't need to come onto anything special if it's tzarech tiltel hatinok. So the way, just understand, the way Yoni is reading Tosos is saying that if I need the tinok, then this is tiltel menatzat l'tzorach davar amutter, even without gaguin. Mm-hmm. That's the way he's reading it.
No,
why?
Okay, whatever. I was thinking about whatever. We'll have to talk about some.
That's not the way.
I was thinking about the previous shlav in Tosos. Whatever.
Okay, but I thought even the maskan. I thought that's the way you're reading Tosos, saying that Tosos is saying if you need the tinok, then this is mutter, right? This is Tzotel Benatzar L'Tzarech Da'aver Mutter. That's exactly what he's saying. Okay? Good. Fine. Siv Beis. Kalkala Shais Nekuva V'Sas Maha Even Mutter L'Taltala Shavei Nasa Kedafna V'Chein Delash Talin Ba Even Kedei L'Achbida L'Malos B'Mayim. So this is like the Rambam. And in other words, and it's a chiddush even in the Rambam. It's a chiddush even in the Rambam. Well, let's take a step back at what the Gemara actually says. And here, of course, we have two gear cells. We'll talk more about that when we do Sif Gimel. But we have a Gemara. Kalkala Metocha. Damai, Tavei Kalkala Basadab Aser, Amra Ruchana. I'm Rav Yochanan. I'll call him Leah Peros. Ask him. Lashad v'lishdinu l'peiri v'nishdi l'aven v'nektinu b'yadayim. No, we're talking about the Peros Hamatanfin. Then we still ask, you should do Niur? And we say a whole new answer. Yeah, kalkala p'chusa. That's our girsa. So before we get to the Rambam's girsa and the Shulchan Aruch, let's just focus on our gears. So we have a very interesting question, right? We already answered, we're talking about like soft blueberries or something like that with a basket of a stone and soft blueberries. And we know that if you were to do near here, as you're supposed to always try to do near first, what's going to happen? Your blueberries are going to get wrecked. So we have this question. So why don't you do... I mean, now, again, not everybody has this girsa, but our girsa is v'nishdinu l'peiri v'nishdiye l'aven. So, this is quite an operation. I don't know exactly how you're doing this. Somehow or another, you're getting the stone out from the bottom of the barrel of blueberries without dropping the blueberries. But okay, you could do it.
And are you throwing it all out?
No, you're not, because it's going to get wrecked. We already said it's talking about Peros Hamatanfin.
Oh, sorry, I mean it's the
Gemara. So the answer, and this is such a good question that the Gemara has to come on to another. Okay. Now, if you look at the Tosfos Yeshanim over here, he is trying to figure out how far you have to go. Meaning to say, the basic principle we all know and understand, which is if you can do near, you have to do near. And we also know if you can't do near, it's mutter. The impression you get from the Gemara is that you really, really, really must try very, very hard to do near. And otherwise it's aser, and that's why we have to come on to the Zukimta of Evan Pchusa, of Kalkala Pchusa. And Tosfos Yeshanim gives different answers over here. We don't tend to read the whole thing inside, but as to how far you need to go in terms of being to be matir. For example, the Gemara says that why don't you just take out the peros and carry them? And we answer v'yishlomar d'mayri shapia kalkala tsarhu. So nochanami. It's like a bottle that you can't take out the pears. Otherwise, you'd have to. Inami yeshlomar dehida l'kaman mari b'truma sheik b'kem tanim. No, maybe over there it's you know each one is in a separate compartment, but otherwise you wouldn't have to. In other words, the answers of the Tosfos Yeshanim are basically you know misupik about how far you have to go. Now, the Rambam doesn't have this girsa, as the Rif Beis Yosef points out. The Rambam, therefore, says actually there's two tzirim and both are mutter. One is the tzir of the fruits that are soft and will get wrecked if you do near, and then it's mutter. And the alternative is when you have a barrel with the hole in it and now the stone is functioning on the barrel. Now, within the Rambam, then we have a question, which is, why is it that this, we know later on, we'll see, or earlier on, the Gemara we saw, said that the only time the stone in the bucket is not a, is mutter, is when you tied it on, right? But otherwise, we say fakert, we say the stone remains muksa, even though it's functional. And yet over here, the Rambam, and that's the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, say it's not that way. It says that if you have, again, I'll just read Lashon Shulchan Aruch, kalkala shahaisa nekuva v'sasma v'aven mutter l'tatzla. You have a hole, and you have a stone, then it's mutter. So I have a question. Maishna, from the case of the bucket, where we say that the only time it's mutter is if you tied it on. So what you're answering is like this. You're saying that actually you don't need to tie it on, right? Actually you don't need to tie it on. It, over there, the only reason to tie it on is because it's ineffective without it. But the truth is, as long as it's functional, it's without it. So that's a good answer. But it's not the answer of the Magen Avraham or the Mishnah Berura, right? The Magen Avraham says in Ukimta, says, Sifkat and Gimel, the Magen Avraham, same in the Mishnah Berura, Kevin Dehadka, Shavya Daisen, the Gemara from Kuf Chaf, hey, you have to make Achamai Eskinan, Dehadka, right? Mashma Dim Lo Hadka Lo. The truth is, even in the Rambam, there's another way to read it. Though, again, this goes against certainly the Beis Yosef. There might be other Rishonim that make this distinction of the Meiri. Meiri doesn't make Das Rambam, but he says it, which is, you could have actually said something else. You could have said that it doesn't become non-muksa, this stone, right? The stone is actually still muksa, because it doesn't become non-muksa until, like the Gemara says, Hadka. But at the same time, you're allowed to move it because it's functional. So I don't have to do niur. In other words, there's something in between. We sort of assume either it's muksa and therefore you are obligated to do niur, or it's part of the kli and it's not muksa at all. Maybe there's something in between. And the truth is, I thought at the very least, from the Rambam you sort of get that impression because he has these in two different halachos. In this halacha he talks about all the cases where the stone is muksa, and then two halachos later he starts talking about the case where it's not muksa. But anyway, the Beis Yosef, at the very least, doesn't read the Rambam that way. The Beis Yosef learns that the Rambam means that it actually is becoming non-muksa. And the Magen Avraham says, oh, if you're going to say it's not muksa, al karchacha must be hadka. Because otherwise it goes against the rules. Okay. Let's turn to Sif Gimel.
But Rabbi, if it was still muksa, then shouldn't there be another limitation in the tiltal of the kilkala mentioned? You shouldn't be able to move...
You mean in my pshat or the Meiri?
Yeah.
Yeah. That, no, I would have said like this. That when is... You don't have to do near when the muksa is functional because it's playing a role in my ability to use the basket. So it is right. You have to do near when this evan is just coming along.
Right, but meaning if the evan is still muksa, you wouldn't be able to just move the kilkala.
Ah, that's the one around. That's going to be the shayla. In other words, here... It's hishtamshus of the muksa b'heter. So maybe that's gufa, okay.
And it's always going to be hishtamshus?
Tilto menatza. Well, I want to use this basket, right? Why am I moving the basket? I want to use the basket. I don't know why I want to use it. I want to use it for whatever reason. Some mutter reason on Shabbos, right? So now, but there's a stone in the basket. But the stone is making the basket functional. So even though the stone is still muksa, because I haven't been mahadik it, but since it's functional, so it's tilto menatza, it's arch davar mutter. What's arch davar mutter? Hishtamshus b'ha basket. So if you learn...
And the Gemara never indicates that...
So then you don't have to do that. Tildum and Atzal is l'shtamesh b'muksa, but it's l'tzach Shabbos. It's considered... It's b'chlal v'heter tzach davar mutter. Doesn't mean it's muksa, not muksa yet, right? So, as I said, you could have held such a reading, and it's a shtukal meduyuk, I think, in Rambam, but anyway, that's not the way...
It's like Rabbi's Ramban from Kuf Chaf Hei.
Yeah, good. Okay, so Sif Gimel. Kal kolam leya peiros, even besoicha, im yehem peiros, retuvim, kigontin manavim, then yitol zach moshi. Shem yinar peiros, mitocha, yivsidu. Good. So this, as we said, is the Rambam's theory, Now, presumably, Rashi would disagree with this, or Argirsa, I should say, would disagree with this. Argirsa, this is the first answer in the Gemara, and the Gemara rejects this answer because it says, well, you could still figure out some way to do Nir. But the question is, maybe it's not true. Maybe, even though clearly the Rambam and our Girsa have a different Girsa, but maybe their machlokas isn't so big, and they're just talking about different cases. Now, if you look at the Magen Avraham over here, the Magen Avraham says like this. So Yitol Osa, right? It says in the Shulchan Aruch, then you're allowed to carry the basket if it has these soft fruits. Danasa basis lis v'hater. Okay, so it's not going to be a basis because there's fruits in it along with the rock. The ein matrichin oso litol haperes mitoch hasal v'yado. What does that mean? You have to do near when you could do near. But if you can't do near, and if you can't do near, you don't have to do near. What about if you could do get rid of the muksa, but al yidei tircha, right? So what we're saying over here is you don't have to, right? Now, that might be the Pshat and Rambam, but the truth is that he's quoting this from Tosos Yeshanim. One of the answers in Tosos Yeshanim, as we said, this is two, one of the two answers in Tosos Yeshanim. But Tosos Yeshanim says it's Pshat even with our Girsa. In other words, Tosos Yeshanim says, even if you have our Girsa, it still might be true that if Nir is a big pain, you don't have to bother with it. So what emerges then is, again, though we surely have two different Girsos in the Gemara, there's not necessarily much of a machlokas and din. Because you could have our Girsa in the Gemara and still say, agree to the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, because if it's a tircha, they weren't machayv you to be matriach. And, you know, according to this reading, when the Gemara, instead of saying hacha bekalkala p'chusa askinan, it could have said hacha b'makom sheish tircha to dump out the fruits. Okay, gave a different answer. That's what the Magen Avraham is basically saying. Now, let's look at the Rambam for a moment. Rambam is very interesting lashon over here. Kalkol sheish nekuva v'sasa manekev shela be'eben moter l'taltala shaharei. Right, so this is the second option. Shari eben naseis kidofen. This is one of the reasons why I thought before, maybe the Rambam is saying it's not Evan Nasadofen, it's Kidofen. But anyway, Heizekal Kalam Leah Peros, Evan Besoch HaPeros, Im Hayu HaPeros, Retuvim, Kigon and Avon Tutim, No Tel Osakim Oshi, Shem Yinara Peros, Yitanvu Ba'afar, Uvimakom Hefzid like Azru. In other words, what's the Pshat in his Heter? The Pshat is that Makom Hefzid lo Gazru. In other words, Tiltu Menatzad is tiltul muksa, but the makom hefseid lo gazu. Very much, similar in many ways to the Ritva, though the Ritva said it b'makom oneg shabbos lo gazru, and the Rambam is saying it b'makom hefseid lo gazru. Now, if we look at the Magid Mishnah over here. And it's quoted in the Beis Yosef, right? So, we'll leave that for now. Let's look at the Mishnah Berura. Sif Katan Tes. Okay. So Kamoshi, af sheish aven besochad nasek hakal las v'heter v'heter chashav yoser batal ha'isol gam. But we're going to return to that lashon. It's very important. But let's just wait 1 minute for that. Havikilu in a bus is rakvat. Good. So it sounds to me like he's disagreeing with the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that it's mutter to do total matzad and not to do niur if it's a tircha. And the Mishnah Brura said, basically, it's because of the hefzed. It's pen yiplu la'aretz. The truth is, it's more similar to the Rambam, which is interesting, right? In other words, what would the Mishnah Brura say if I have an option to avoid tiltel menatzad, but there's tircha? So I think, and you know, I'd have to make an extra trip or something like that. So it sounds like the Mishnah Berurah is being machmir in that shayla, and the Magen Avraham is being mekel. That's why it sort of changes from the Magen Avraham. The Mishnah Berurah, as we've seen, always sort of sticks with the Magen Avraham. Here, he changes. He addresses the same issue with the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham answered the question because of Tircha, then Sivkat and Dalit, they matrichen also lito aperis mito chasal biado. But, and again, he has the same contrast, but if it's Sal and Katanin, then you need to, presumably because it's not such a Tircha. But it's there, you could avoid the problem by carrying the muksa with your hands, right? Let's say these are blueberries in the basket, right? So, okay, why do I need to? I can't do near. So why don't I just carry the blueberries inside? What do I need the basket for? So the Magen Avraham answers, Tircha, lo itrichu. And the Mishnah Berurah asks that same question, but he answers, Pen yiplu l'aretz, which I think is, you know, your fruits might get wrecked. Your blueberries might fall. If you carry your blueberries by hand, so then they'll fall and get ruined. So it sounds like he's disagreeing with the Magen Avraham, and he's saying tircha isn't enough. You actually need a chashash hefzed. Now, another very interesting point that comes up in this Mishnah Berurah is the lashon at the beginning. He writes, again, why is it that there's no buses problem here? After all, you have a stone with stone inside the barrel. And he answers, well, because there's also fruits in the barrel. And the heter, the fruits, that is, chashav yoser uvata ha'isulagabe. That's more chashav. It's more valuable. So what if it was the same? What if you have a basis la'isulagabe, and the iser and the heter are equally valuable? So it's mashma from the Mishnah Berurah that it's aser.
I mean, it's just intrinsically more valuable in this case.
What? Okay, so you're saying it's not the strongest diak in the world. Elsewhere, the Mishnah Berurah is machmir befeirush. And the truth is, he quotes the Chayadim, who's also machmir befeirush. If you want to take a look, it's Mishnah Berurah Shin Yud, Sivkatan Lamed Gimel. There are others who are mekel. The Aruch HaShulchan, Shin Yud, Tes Vav, is mekel. So what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas over here? In other words, again, we have a debate. What's the halacha if you have a basis, lis, or v'lahater that are equally valuable? So I thought like this. If it's because of haktzah, I'm going to use the Mishnah Berurah's own svara from Klishim Achdol Yeser to explain this. If you're going to say that the din of basis is the din of haktzah, makzah the kli, because it's supporting muksa, so then if it's equally lis, or v'lahater, I'm not going to be makzah. Right, the very same story that the Bir Alach himself used with respect to Klishma Achdol Yisr, which he also thought was because of Haktza. You don't have to accept that, but that's the way to look at it. So Haktza, I'm not going to be Maktzit, because it's not, it's equally for Heter. So whether what? So the Machmirim hold that it's a din. That, and again, we've seen this machlokas elsewhere, how to understand embassis, when you have iser on heter, it's not just that you're makza the heter, but it's a din that it's aser. And that's why it's only going to be mutter if the heter is mevatel the iser, like the Mishnah Berurah's lashon over here. Ubatel ha'iser legabah. If the heter is mevatel the iser, so then it's basis ladavar ha'mutter. There is no iser here. The heter is mevatel the iser. Well, to be mevatel an iser, you need to be more chashuv. An equal thing can't be mevatel an equal thing. So therefore, if you hold that it's a din, and the only way to be matir this, anytime you have muksa on muhan, the kavana wasn't shachach, was in yet, and then it's aser, unless the heter could be mevatel the iser. So to be mevatel the iser, it needs to be more chashuv. So that's the tsar of the Mishnah Berurah. Ravadia notes this machlokas, and he writes that mekel yesh lo amal lismoch. So he's not a clear-cut leniency, but there's room to be mekel, as they say in English. Now, we saw before, we said that the Mishnah Berurah, maybe disagreeing with the Magen Avraham, says that if you can do near, you must do near, you must avoid Chuzlam and Atzad, except, you know, B'makom Hefzed. And the Mishnah Berurah echoes this a little bit later on, where he writes the Lashon in the next Sifkatan Yud, is that Kevan Sheyuchal Be'ezet Eitzel Saking Shel Yital Tala Evan L'Kilu B'zeh. Right? Now, there's Ezu Eitzef. There's some way to avoid, if there's some way to do near, to avoid Tiltum Natsad, then you must. And in this Dibur HaMa'asil Sifkat Yod, he basically paskins like our Girsa, even though the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like our Girsa, but he paskins like our Girsa. The Lachain in Yachal and Nar HaEven, Levad mitoch hakalkal, ashlicha gam kein mechuyav b'zeh. Good. In other words, he's also saying, like we said before, that though they're two girsos in the Gemara, in the end of the day, there need not be a machlokas. Okay, we're running out of time. Let me bring up a couple points from Dalet, and if we have time, we'll go back to Gimel. So one issue that comes up over here in Dalet a couple of places, and we're not going to get into it again because we did it when we did the Gemara, is a question of how you define basis. Is it dafka, mutter, iser on top of heter, or is it only if iser is mishamesh heter? And you see that come up, and then there are stiras a little bit in the Mishnah Berurah as well. You can take a look at the Dirshim to deal with it. We already talked about this in terms of the way we learn the Rishonim. I'll just bring up one very interesting Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Tes Vav. So let me ask you a question before you look too hard at the Mishnah Berurah. Let's say I ask the following child. Let's say I go ahead and I accidentally left my wallet, some money, something muksa on my couch. Good. So, can I sit down on my couch? Well, if I sit down on my couch, what's going to happen to my wallet? It's going to like bounce up and down a little bit, right? It'll move. So is it mutter to sit down on my couch? Or do I have to do near? So, if you'd have asked me this shaila before I read the Mishnah Berurah, I would have said, of course sit down on your couch. You don't have to do near. Near is a lot more movement to the muksa than sitting down on your couch, right? You sit down on my couch and my wallet, like, you know, bounces up and down a little bit, right? So it will move. So tiltum and atzad, l'tzartav ha'mutter. You'll tell me to do near, I lift up my couch and dump it down. That's a lot more tiltum muksa. Now, there's a whole idea, I would have thought, of doing near as opposed to tiltum and tiltum kamur is because near is less significant movement, right? So sitting on my couch and the muksa sort of bobbing up and down, will be much less significant than actually like picking up the couch and being menayer the wallet. That's, I think, what intuitively I would have said. But the Mishnah Berurah says, no, actually the opposite is true. Mishnah Berurah over here says the following. Let's say you want to learn at a table on Shabbos, Kodesh, but somebody left some money on the table. It's not a basis. You know that oftentimes when you learn on the table shakes. So you go to Maril, that's okay, because it's not necessarily going to shake. It's lo havi psik resha. What would be if it was a psik resha? So then it would be usur. Or not usur, I'd have to do nir on the table so I could learn on the table. So first of all, you see that psik resha in this type of case is usur. Now, you might have thought that tiltal muks of the psik resha is not usur, because there's so many ways in which you could move muks anyway. You could do tiltal begufo and tiltal, I mean, that's not in the like. It's not like malacha, where we say psik resha is usur. I mean, certainly if you're going to say psik resha from the Rabbanan to low, Michaled Lachvasle is mutter, then for sure this is mutter, right? So, but even if you're machmir on psik resha to low Michaled and Mr. Rabbanan, you still could have said that that doesn't apply to tiltal muksa, because tiltal muksa is not like malacha. Tiltal muksa is something you're not allowed to do directly, and we have a million and one ways that indirectly it's going to be mutter anyway. So, but okay, he's machmir and not shayla. And then he says that. So if it were talk of psik resha, that while you're learning your table, like maybe a shtender, this is more relevant, something like that. If while you're learning, the money left on the table would inevitably move. So then, taka, you have to do nir. You can't learn at the table with that nir. So Mela, in the case of the couch, I think you would have to do, according to the Mishnah Berurah, you would have to do nir. Now, if you're, like, the only way to do nir is, like, lifting up the whole couch, maybe that's excessive. I certainly feel like I'm going to run by the tircha, but let's say it's nir isn't so hard. You could just pick up the cushion, right, and the money will slide down onto the floor. You would have to, and you can't just sit on the couch, even though the money's going to bob up and down. I think that's what will come out from this Mishnah Berurah. Yeah.
Might that be just because if you're learning at a table and you keep using it, you're doing really in movement
so,
whereas if you sit on the couch, just sit down. Okay, so move on.
So it's a fair point, and maybe you're right. But you move around every time you move around the couch. The money also bounces up and down, and when you get up, it's going to bounce up some more. And when you lean forward and you lean back and the like, I think it's the same type of thing. I pointed out from Rosh Hashanah that this doesn't mean every second when the Mishnah would be machmir because of psik resha, it's moving necessarily. The way Rabbi Shechter at least understands it is, understood this halacha, is that over the course of the movement, of the learning, there's going to be some tiltal of the coins. In other words, it's not like, right? So, it's like a wobbly table. So the chiddush is that when it comes to psik resha, you don't look at each action, each moment discreetly, but you look at the process, if it's part of a bigger process. Rishabhtar brought a ride to this from the Gemara that talks about how combing hair is a psik resha. And that might be true even though each particular comb may not pull out a hair, but the process of combing a hair, whatever that is, you know, 30 combs. So that, if in the course of the 30 combs, it's inevitable that you'll pull out some hair, then you can't comb. We don't look at each one. So even then, I don't know if that's the case. Yeah, you had a question.
Why isn't it tilted the goofo?
So
I mean, even if you touch the money around you.
You are touching the couch that now moves the muksa. So you're saying, if I can move the muksa with my elbow, so kal vachomer when I sit down on the couch. So we know the Mishnah Berurah is Mekala in this very simon about the tiltal begufo shayla. He refers to it, and yet he's machmir over here. So maybe you're saying that my extension to the Mishnah Berurah's case to the couch is wrong. When the Mishnah Berurah's case is moving the table that moves the money, so that's not Tilta Begufo. So it's going to be Usser. Why does the table wobble? I was sort of imagining it wobbles because, I don't know, my legs shake or something like that, which would also be Tilta Begufo. I'm not like picking up the table and shaking it, right? So the Mishnah Berurah Pashtus is like me. But you're asking a kasha in the Mishnah Berurah, which is that if it would be Tilta Begufo, so Chayre, you're right. In other words, if the only Tilta is Elamai, no. So that's an interesting shayla. In other words, let's say...
Why isn't it darko to sit on the couch?
So that goes back to the question of how you understand. In other words, how narrowly you look at it. It's sort of like that. It's sort of like the way Shlomo Zalman was saying by the kid.
You wouldn't have
I know what you're saying, but according to the Chazon Ish, if you do it, the derech of sitting, the sitting on the couch,
So that's okay. That's a different point. In other words, this comes back to how you understand the Hedra, the Rush. But I would have thought not like Yoni. I think more like what you're assuming, because it is true that it's normal to sit on a couch. But it's not a normal way to move money by sitting on a couch. It's actually an extremely abnormal way to move money. And therefore, it should still be begadir tilta begufo. But Yoni's, you know, if you want like Yoni, then the Mishnah Berurah makes more sense. What do you say?
He's talking about a couch.
In this situation, now it became normal.
Contextual, right, that's what you're saying. That's Yoni's part is that till.
If not for the casual, that
people are throwing terrorism on me.
No. It's, I think you're saying, what Yoni's saying is we could be medayik from this Mishnah Berurah, maybe even from the Maril, a very important hagdara in the heter of tiltal begufo. Tiltal begufo is never mutter when you're doing a normal activity. In other words, any time you're doing a normal activity, and the result, no, it's not fakert. The rush is makil, because usually, how would you clear your bed from the, yeah. And so when I do it begufi, it's mutter, it's kila achar yad. Now, here, again, I think it's a very fascinating question, and I think maybe this is an interesting riot, is what the Mishnah Berurah is saying, right? We have a very, very basic question. The heter of tiltal begufo, so we could look at it one of two ways. One way is, it's mutter anytime you move the muksa in an unusual way. And two is, it's mutter anytime the muksa is moved by you're doing an unusual thing. So intuitively, I learned like you, Johnny, in which case, sitting on the couch would be mutter. And Yoni's saying, no, that's not the pshat. In tiltal begufo. Tiltal begufo is a different heter. Tiltal begufo is when you move muksa by doing a weird thing, so then it's mutter. And therefore, if my activity is totally normal, and that normal activity involves the movement of muksa, that's not bechlal the heter of tiltal begufo. And memela, if I could do near, I must do near. And here I could do near, so I have to do near.
The irony is that the Chazon Ish, which is a chumra by tiltal begufo, is coming after the akula, because the Chazon Ish says for sure that that's okay. That's how the Chazon Ish learns the rush.
Yeah. So it's a very good point. In other words, it's a much more nuanced machlokas than we thought at first, right? Okay. Wow. So you see, even the second to last day of learning Hilchos Muksa and like new chidushim are popping up all over the place. Okay, good. So we'll stop here.
Third to last day now.
Third to last day. Well, we're finished.
We stopped.
And